stumbling and the rock of offense, as far as they were concerned. They were nationally broken in pieces on him. And then he became the cornerstone of another house, because this is a metaphor which is used elsewhere in the New Testament. Another house, the church, he became the chief cornerstone. And says the Apostle Peter to that gracious Lord, we have come as unto a living stone disallowed, that's the word which is used rejected elsewhere, indeed of men, but chosen of God and precious. We also as living stones are built into a spiritual house. He the chief cornerstone, elect precious, but now the head of the corner. The Old Testament tells us in the day of his coming glory, he will be the smiting stone striking down Gentile nations and dominion. And Daniel chapter 2 indicates that. And then in verse 26, the rejected stone is one picture, but in verse 26, you notice what it says. Save now, and blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. We have blessed you out of the house of the Lord. And that verse has to do with the returning king. Let me explain why I say that. This is stated as the welcome for the returning king, and it's at the time of the second advent of the king that the nation will utter that. And I tell you why I say that. When the Lord Jesus made his triumphal entry into Jerusalem, and they cried there, Hosanna to the Son of David, they had cried, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. This verse. And they added, Hosanna in the highest. And, save now we beseech thee, O Lord. Then of course, they crucified him. But you know, the Lord Jesus had stood outside Jerusalem and wept over Jerusalem. And when he wept over Jerusalem, he had said concerning them that he would have gathered them, just as the hen gathers a chick in the wings. But they would not. They would not come unto him, that they might have life, he said elsewhere. And then he said, you know, your house is going to be left you desolate, and you will not see me henceforth. Until you say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. And so he was pointing ahead to a day yet future when he would return, and then they would say, Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. But soon after that they cried, Crucify him, and they crucified him. But the prediction here is yet to be fulfilled, and they will sing this in its final fulfillment when he comes to reign. One final picture before we leave it, and it's found in verse 27. God is the Lord, which has showed us light, bind the sacrifice with cords, even to the horns of the altar. And so we have the rejected stone, the returning king, and the appointed sacrifice. The sense is, let me do this in case I get into trouble with it. I haven't got the verse down, but it's verse 27, because there's a mission on that. The sense is, bind the sacrifice with cords till it is sacrificed, with its blood sprinkled on the horns of the altar. Bind the sacrifice with cords, even to the horns of the altar. And that's an interesting little picture, because the idea of binding the sacrifice is something which takes over a picture in the New Testament. And that picture is found in John's Gospel. And you remember that in the arrest in the garden, what they did was they took him and they bound him. It's a odd picture in that he came to bring freedom and liberty, and they bound the one who came to bring freedom and liberty. Without him there is no freedom, and they bound him. And so, when he was arrested in the garden, There came the soldiers of staves and swords, and they came to the staves and swords of the prince of peace. They came as lanterns and lights, and he was the light of the world. And they came to arrest him, and they bound him. It's a, what you might call a tragic picture. It's more than that, really, I suppose. It is laughable if it wasn't so tragic. Fancy trying to bind God with cords. Sounds strange. When, some years ago, I was reading calendar, and they had, this calendar had on it this statement: they took Jesus and bound him. And that, of course, was the picture in John 18, and it's a quotation from John 18. And then was this: bind the sacrifice of the cords to the horns of the altar. And then underneath was written this: did they bind thee in that garden when they came with staves and swords? Bind the mighty God incarnate with a knot of hempen cords? Cords indeed, my Saviour, bound thee. Strong, unbreakable, divine, twined were they in long past ages, out of love for souls like mine. He was bound by cords of love to the altar, not by hempen cords. And then from that, the voice of faith and confidence in God is heard: thou art my God, and I will praise thee. And the psalm returns to the opening statement of the goodness and mercy of God: O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, and his mercy endureth forever. We'll take a breath.